Sunday. We thank God for Cultural Sunday, and we thank God that we also have the opportunity to celebrate where we're from. You know, sometimes we could get to that point where we forget where we're from, or we hold on to the negative part of where we're from, and we forget that God, in His very careful design, you know, God doesn't randomly say, okay, I'll just make everybody come from Umuchu. Sorry, Pastor. I couldn't help it. You know, God in His mercy, He decided that some people will come from Ekulobia. Yes. After a while, some people will come from Olu. Please, I must not forget where my husband's people come from. Oh. And some people will come from Ihioma. Praise the Lord. That's how our God is. You know, our God is a God of variety. He doesn't dress us all up in the same clothes and say, okay, go to school, go to the mission field. What He does, He gives us different languages. He gives us different food. That's why today, after the service, guess what will be happening? Hey! By the grace of God, a lot of our sisters, please, let's just give a round of applause. A lot of our sisters cooked this morning. You know, they made the effort before coming in. While some people were sleeping or trying to come back from work, some people were putting out the labor of good food from Ghana, from Cameroon, from Jamaica. In fact, get your taste buds ready. Praise the Lord. We give God the glory. We give God the glory. God has been so faithful. And we thank God for Cultural Sunday. You know, it's important that we celebrate where we come from. You know, because sometimes we just get into every day and we just forget, you know, about the specifics, that how God designed us, you know. But the bottom line, though, is that no matter where you come from, no matter what language you speak today, we are under one Father. And we give God praise. So God knows who you are. God knows when you were born. God knows what culture, what village you will come from. God knows the specific year that you will be born. God even knows the people that you will grow up with. You know, that's how unique that God created us to be. Praise the Lord. And because of it, He makes no mistakes, no coincidences. I don't know how many of us came this morning questioning our origin, questioning where we're from. Just know, God in His specific design, that's what He tells us in His word. Let's read Psalm 139, verse 13 to 18. I'll be talking today about celebrated and set apart. That's our title, celebrated and set apart. So Psalm 139 from verse 13 to 18. I'll be reading from the easy-to-read version. Do we have it up? If we can put it up, I like us to read together. It says, "You formed the way I think and feel. You put me together in my mother's womb. I praise You because You made me in such a wonderful way. I know how amazing that was. You could see my bones grow as my body took shape, hidden in my mother's womb." 16 says, "You could see my body grow each passing day. You listed all my parts, and not one of them was missing." 17 says, "Your thoughts are beyond my understanding. They cannot be measured. If I could count them, they would be more than all the grains of sand. But when I finished, I would have just begun." Praise the Lord. You know, I think it was Sunday school rally. One of our brothers came up, and he personalized this psalm. And really, I encourage us, go back home, personalize the psalm. It applies to you, child of God. God formed the way you and I think and feel. God formed, He put us in our mother's womb. You know, He put us in that specific family. I don't know how many times, maybe some of us may have questioned that. He made us in such a wonderful way. And you know, our God, with His high level of intelligence, the same God that put all the bones in the human body, and yet coordinated them so that you can walk and talk at the same time. The same God that made the complex brain. You know, if God is like the ultimate designer. My husband was given an example one day in Life Center, and he was saying how he went to California and he drove on the Golden Gate Bridge. And he just could not help but think that, God, how did a man, human flesh and bone, how did they come up with this idea? Who do you think was the inspiration behind it? Is this God? The God who is the source of all inspiration, whereby he creates something out of nothing. You know, he speaks things into being. How much more you, child of God? Praise the Lord. So if we talk about our culture is really where we come from. It's how you define a particular group of people. Some of us are defined by our language. Like me, I come from a town called Ibadan in Oyo State. Praise the Lord. And God was specific in doing that. And sometimes, some of our cultures, there are different religions, but sometimes we have different religions. And praise God, many of us today, we are now under the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Some of us, our food is unique to where we come from. Our music is unique to where we come from. You know, so culture is who you naturally are and where you belong to. So it's important that we understand and we celebrate who we are, because that is what you naturally give yourself to. Praise the Lord. So my mother-in-law is an Igbo woman, a proud Igbo woman, who I respect so much, you know. So once in a while, when we get talking, she will mention, you know, during the war, these are the things that happened. And her references are really to the Biafran War. So I was very curious, because of course I know the basics about the Biafran War, but there was opportunity to see a movie. So my curiosity grew, and I watched it. And then I was discussing with my husband. I said, you know, it's very important that we take time to understand our history. Because those experiences during the war, it shaped her into the wisdom that she's giving out today. I said, because of that, she doesn't waste any food. So because of that too, I'm learning from her. And by the grace of God, so it's important we go back, understand your history. Teach them to the current generation. Let them teach their own children too. Why? Because all of it comes together to make you who God intended for you to be. Praise the Lord. And that's what our pastor was saying. If we try to forget where we come from, because we think that where we come from is negative, it's not all negative. You know, by the fact that we are all human beings, flesh and blood, the culture may not always get things right. But the things that they get right, look for them, celebrate them. You know, make them, you should see, when some of our sisters, when they cook, oh my goodness. When you visit their houses, like a certain sister, my sister, Sister Nkechi, when she makes that food, you'll be smelling it from inside the car before you come down. And why? It's because she too, she's celebrating where she comes from. Praise the Lord. So it's important too that we don't try to change ourselves. Okay, fine. Sometimes it's good to look at the things that people are doing better and to do them. But on the other hand, we should be proud of the things that God has given us, of the blessings that God has given us. So that way, and even our food, we should be proud of it. We shouldn't be ashamed of our language, even our way of socializing. I mean, Africans are because I am biased, I am African, but they are one of the warmest people. If you go to an African's house, the warmth, the hospitality, you know, not to say other people from other cultures are not hospitable, but it stands out. And those are things that we deliberately, that's an example of something that we deliberately teach to our children. Praise the Lord. So the same way that if you go to a nation, they showcase who you are. And really, it's how you too, it's your attitude about something that will advertise to people how you are feeling about it. If you're not happy about where you come from, it will come through. You know, it will come through and it will affect how you do things. So God is telling us today that, look, I made you the way that I made you. So be happy where you are. Be happy with who you are. Celebrate your culture, your natural culture within the household of faith. That's what we're doing today. Praise the Lord. So that's what makes us balanced, because we celebrate the natural culture and we also celebrate our spiritual culture. You know that spiritual culture, and you have to understand, the Bible says that we are spirits. We have a spirit, right? Yes. We live in a body and we have a soul. So the body is part of our natural culture. That's our spirit that has received the Lord Jesus as his Lord, as his or her Lord and King. That's what gives us a spiritual culture. And now, guess what? We have a spiritual heritage that we also celebrate. Praise the Lord. So, I mean, the full component of where we are is that's body, our soul, and our spirit. Praise God. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And God puts all those things. He puts us, he makes us so unique so that we can be fit for his purpose. So that the purpose for which he created us, it can be fulfilled. Praise the Lord. I've read, and I'm sure you've also heard, about a pastor who, he left Nigeria. And God sent him to, I think he's in Russia. I mean, imagine somebody who you, I mean, the expectation will be you stay where God has called you, right? But God sent him to a country so many miles away from home, and he's making an impact. And guess what? That culture that he came from is also contributing. God is using that, the uniqueness about him to pretty much fulfill his function within the mission field. Praise the Lord. That's how God made you and I as well. Our mission fields may be different. Some of us, our mission field may be back home where we come from. But for any of you over here, your mission field is here. God has called you here with your language, with your accents, with all that you are. God makes you ready and fit for purpose. And then you are here in this church so that you can be built, so that you can be solid, so that your spirit can be strong. Just as you celebrate in your body, your natural culture, within your spirit too, it can be strong and confident of what God has called you to do. And then you are fully formed. You know how it is, whereby God will make sure you have, not only will you have clothes to wear, but you have food to eat, but you have people surrounded around you. It's like God makes sure that we have everything we need to live a life that pleases him. Praise the Lord. So we thank God for the gift of Jesus, in that Jesus came and he redeemed us, because he realized that, look, we as human beings, natural, we needed to be saved. We needed to be redeemed. And then he loved us in spite of where we come from. That's the amazing thing that Jesus did. You know, whereby Jesus said, I don't care if you're short, if you're tall, if you're blind, if you eat whatever food you eat, whatever past you might have, and Jesus loved us all through it. The amazing love of God. It covers every sin. I don't care the worst thing you can imagine that somebody may have done. That is the extent of how God loves us. And because of it, God said, you know what? These my people, no matter where they come from, Gentile, Jew, African, whether you are from South America, no matter where you're from, the love of Jesus is available to all of us. Praise the Lord. And that's what God did. He did that by sending his son. He sent his son for our benefit. And he sent Jesus to die. And what did Jesus do? Jesus went above, beyond. I mean, he redeemed us completely. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that God made Jesus. Can we put that up, please, so that we can all see it? 2 Corinthians 5:21, NIV. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. Let's read it together. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. That's what God did for us. God said, you know what? The natural man that is sinful, I want to come, I want to redeem, and I want to take their place. No matter what culture you come from, no matter the extent of your sin, God made Jesus, who had no sin, to take our place. Whereby now Jesus came, the punishment that was due us, Jesus came and said, you know what, I'm going to bear it. Because these people, they cannot bear it on their own. So God himself, he took on the full humanity, every sin that was ever committed, just even by us being conceived in sin, our human nature, Jesus took it upon himself. And he loves us, and he still loves us today, and he loved us by pouring out his love and mercy. Praise the Lord. He poured on that love and mercy on us. And after that saving us, what else did God do? God put his very life in us. So that way we don't operate, not just relying on what we know. But he's saying, you know what? I want them to operate from the life of God within them. Galatians 2:20, 20 to 21. I love how the message puts this, so we'll read it together. Galatians 2:20 to 21. Can we put it up, please? Let's read it. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. That's Jesus. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. Who hasn't crucified with Christ over him? I have. And by the grace of God, that's what God is telling us, that no matter where you are from, no matter how bad you might have been, no matter how terrible you think life has been, the Bible is saying, look, Jesus went on that cross and he also took all of our past and crucified it with Jesus. So now let's continue to read. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. He says, the life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise the Lord. So you see there, the Apostle Paul was saying, and that applies to us as well. He's saying, look, after you have been crucified with Christ, the life that you are now living is not yours. It's God living through you. Praise the Lord. And with God living through us, it means we have the life of God. That life of God, it is what is helping us to live. So that way, we're not following rules and regulations. Otherwise, sometimes we may get to a place where we say, let's follow the Ten Commandments. But God is saying, you know what? You are children. I've called you to a higher place. Let the life of God within you, because you are now born again, and that life of God has come within you. Live the life that you live from within to the outside. Praise the Lord. Why? You know, because sometimes there tends to be a conflict between our natural culture and our spiritual heritage. And that conflict, it becomes stronger, especially when we don't have the wisdom of the Word of God directing us. But every time that we surrender to the wisdom of God and we live from the inside out, guess what? We start to live the real life that God has called us to live. Praise the Lord. So that's how God has called us to live. God is telling us, but what God is saying is this, live with a balance. Don't live whereby you forget where you naturally come from. He's saying, live your natural life with your natural culture, but then let the Spirit of God direct you. That is what now makes you the complete born-again man or woman fit for his work. And that complete born-again man or woman is also getting nourished by the Word of God. So the Word of God is now what is helping you. So now you live by the Spirit of God. You don't live by your natural culture or your natural experiences. You live by the Spirit of God, also directed by the Word of God. Praise God. So let's look at the life of Paul. You know, sometimes we could get to a place where we say, okay, so how do we really look at this in an example? How many of us have read about the life of Paul in the Bible? He was Jewish. He was very well brought up in the religious order. He was a child. He had the best upbringing. He had like the best teachers. He was a Roman citizen. He was trained in the best Jewish schools. You know, very well educated. Let's read Acts 22 verse 3, NLT. Acts 22 verse 3. I'll read it just so we can pick up the pace a little bit. All right. It says, then Paul said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, and I was brought up and educated here in Jerusalem under Gamaliel. As his student, I was carefully trained in our Jewish laws and customs. I became very zealous to honor God in everything I did, just like all of you today. So what you remember, the Apostle Paul, he wasn't a Christian, right? He didn't come knowing Jesus all of a sudden. It's like God had to, in fact, the Bible says that he persecuted the people who were on fire for Jesus, you know. And so God too now brought him to the knowledge of Christ Jesus and transformed him completely. You know, when God transforms somebody completely, think about it, the worst human being, and God will come, change that person from the inside out. And not only did God do that, God used his background as a Roman citizen to testify of his name. So there were times that the Apostle Paul, because now he was not a changed man. He was not declaring the gospel. But yet, you could see as you read through the book of Acts that he did not forget where he came from. In fact, where he came from, it became an issue because, like in Acts 22, 26 to 27, he was bound, you know, because they had caught him preaching, you know. And then he declared to those people that, look, I'm a Roman citizen. So the Apostle Paul, he understood and he knew his rights and his background as a Roman citizen. He celebrated it. And that's why he was able to call on it. And you know what God did? God took everything. That's his past. That's his upbringing. His education. He used it for his full purpose. And that was why he was able to use him to the maximum efficiency. How does that translate to all of us today? I don't know where you've gone to school. I don't know what town or village you come from. But God is saying this. If you come to me, Jesus, and you receive the free gift of my salvation, I will take everything that you have, you know, all the natural endowments, and with the Spirit of God working within you, I will make you who I want you to be, my battle axe, my man and woman of purpose. Praise the Lord. So just to give us an example, and really, Apostle Paul, he celebrated his culture. He didn't forget it. That's really why we're having Cultural Sunday today. We're encouraging ourselves. Even though you are born again, don't forget where you come from. God is going to take everything and make you to be who he wants you to be. Praise the Lord. So let's read Philippians 3, 20 to 21. Philippians 3, 20 to 21. Do we have it up? Let's read together. But we are citizens of the states, which is in heaven, and from it also we earnestly and patiently await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our Savior. Praise the Lord. So what is that scripture telling us? Who is a citizen of heaven over here? Who is a citizen of heaven? So as much as you are a citizen of Oka, or Lu, Ihioma, as long as you're a citizen, God is all, the Lord, just by you accepting Jesus as your Savior, Jesus is also telling you this. You are a citizen of heaven. Praise the Lord. So there's a translation of the Bible. I think it's Amplified of that same scripture. He says, but we are different because our citizenship is in heaven. That's the way that he translates that scripture. Can we have it up? Philippians 3, that same scripture. Philippians 3, 20 to 21. Let's look at the Amplified. It's the Amplified Word. Okay, I think it's another version. I'll find it. It says, we are different because our citizenship is in heaven. So I'm telling you and I today that regardless of where we come from, Ondo State, Ogun State, Benue State, whether you are from Ghana, whether you are from Cameroon, whether you are from Singapore, the Bible is telling you what? You are different because your citizenship is in heaven. Praise the Lord. And so it's important we understand our heavenly citizenship as well, because it makes us different. And that's what happened with the Apostle Paul. He realized that, look, even though he was very well trained in Jewish laws and customs, and he was a Roman citizen, he knew himself to be different. Child of God, do you know yourself to be different? Do you realize God did not call you to function like everyone else in this world? God has set you and I apart. Praise the Lord. So, well, in fact, I met a sister in this our church who came from Cape Verde. When she said that, I said, please, where is Cape Verde? I look so silly. And then when I went home, I went to Google the thing. I said, where is Cape Verde? And then I realized that, you know, ignorance is a bad thing. No? Yeah. Because you need to understand, because God has now called us under one citizenship. So it's important we understand each other. So that way, we're able to understand where we come from, and we're able to embrace ourselves regardless of our differences. That gave me a total different thinking about where this sister comes from, because Cape Verde is on the west coast of Africa. Praise the Lord. So, and you know, because now I understand where that sister comes from, it helps me to relate to her better. Now I'm curious. I'm asking her, I like food, right? So what type of food do you like to eat? What type of food do you guys cook? What are your seasonings? What do you enjoy the most? Do you understand? So how African, what are the main influences? You know, then you want to understand what kind of, do you guys speak English or do you guys speak Spanish? You know, in a nice and warm and threatening, in non-threatening manner. So that way she will see that I respect her culture and she respects mine. That's what God has called those of us. Because now we are now one, under one heavenly citizenship. It's like, I wanted to bring my passport over here, but I was in a rush this morning. It's like all of us, we now have one same colored passport. We don't have blue, green, you know, those of us now, blue, green. On the way to Nigeria, you show one. When you get to when you get back here, you show another. Praise the Lord. So no matter where we come from, no matter wherever you come from, God has called each of us to a spiritual citizenship. And through that spiritual citizenship, I mean, it's our new identity. Not that we're forgetting the old identity, because we're still celebrating it, but it's our main identity. And in fact, it helps us to fulfill the purpose for which we were born. Praise the Lord. Let's also read another scripture, Galatians 3, 27 to 29. The Apostle Paul was writing to the Galatians church here, and it also applies to us. If we can show it up, the Amplified Version, and we'll read it together very quickly. So before, last week, I was trying to get my husband to teach me a statement in Igbo. Oh, my goodness. He must have said that statement like 20 times. Because he would tell me, and then I would come back hours later. So say it again. Because I was trying to come here and say, look, after we're done eating spiritual food over here, there's natural food upstairs. So, Kaiga, Irine. I got it? I really bundled it. Oh. Okay, don't worry. By time next time, I will take all of you by surprise. You'll be very surprised. So we're having Igbo lessons, though. For those of you who want to come over to our house in Canada, we're having Igbo lessons. Praise the Lord. All right, let's read Galatians 3, 27 to 29. Praise the Lord. I'm getting better. And you are getting better, too. Better in the things of God and better in understanding each other's cultures. So that way, unity, we can have unity and function as one. The way that the Lord Jesus had it. Let's read together. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, into a spiritual union and communion with Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, have put on, clothed yourselves with Christ. Let's move on to the next verse as well. There is now no distinction, neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is not male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. I mean, the first time I read that scripture, I say, you know what? There's no discrimination in the kingdom. There is no Jew. Please, let's have that scripture up. There is no Jew. There is no Greek. There is no male. There is no female. Which means what? That means none of us, we're not better than one another. Because that's another lie that the enemy uses to come and try to divide us. And you know, when there is division, you know, we cannot put our hands together and get something done. When if there is strife or division or disunity, it's tough for us to come and say, let's put our minds together. Praise the Lord. So it's important we understand that all of us children of God in Christ Jesus, we have equal privileges. We are created in the same one true image, in true holiness and righteousness. We have the same life of God coming from within us. Praise the Lord. And that's what God is telling us is that, look, even though you are born again and you are children of God, no matter where you come from, you are not ordinary. You are set apart. So despite the fact that you are set apart, within the kingdom, you are all one. We are all one. There is no Jew, there is no Greek, there is no slave, there is no free, there is no Hausa, there is no Yoruba, there is no Spanish, there is no Jamaican. All of us, we are one in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. And you know what else the Bible calls us? 1 Peter 2:9. He says, yes, you are one. But God is also asking us, understand that you are one. Identify with the fact that you are one. Take it to heart. This is the truth. This is your real truth. And in 1 Peter 2:9, the Bible is telling us, can we put it up? 1 Peter 2:9 in the NLT version. It says, let's read. But you are not like that. For you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. Please, let's have that in King James Version. I love how the King James, how it breaks it down. It says, 1 Peter 2:9, the King James Version, please. Let's read it together. But you are a chosen race. You change it to 1 Peter 2:9, King James Version. Okay, let's read it. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth. Show forth what? Let's continue, please. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise the Lord. How many of us really believe that? You are a chosen race. A chosen race. A specific generation. You know, for this time, for this place, God has chosen you and I. We are royal priesthood. We are God's very own possession. We have the holiness of the Lord Jesus upon us. And really, the reason why is that so that we can show others the goodness of God. The reason why is that so that we can show others, and also we can forget our past. Because, you know, sometimes that past tries to tie us down. It tries to tell us you are not worthy. But the Lord Jesus is saying, look, now you have my own righteousness. So you have my own identity. Forget about that past. Leave that past alone. Don't let any condemnation of the enemy hold you down. Start seeing yourself as who you truly are. A child and a king and a child and a priesthood. A child of God. God has exalted our status. So I don't know where you're coming from. God is calling all of us. All of us, you are in the royal priesthood. You are God's very own children. And the reason why you have been redeemed is so that you can show others the goodness and the praise of God. Praise the Lord. So no matter what past we carry, no matter what atrocities we may have done, who came and took our place? The Lord Jesus. Every sin, every punishment we deserved, it was carried upon him. And then beyond that, he went and he changed our identity to that one of righteousness. So I'm not more holy than you are, because we all have the righteousness of Jesus, the holiness of Jesus upon us. So everything that could come and cause friction between us, the Lord Jesus came, he ripped it apart, he threw it apart, and he says, you know what, all of you, you are brand new. Brand new hearts, brand new nature, brand new identity, made with the life of God flowing from the inside out. Praise the Lord. That's how God did it. So you see, it's like God came, all the things that divide us, all the nonsense that could be a hindrance to him, because you know, God cannot behold, he can't stay in an environment where there's darkness. Where there is strife, the glory of God cannot be seen. So everything that causes strife, God came, ripped it apart, and now he says, you know what? Now you can flow in love. Now you can speak the love language. Now you can eat spiritual food and be fed. Now you can function the way I made you to function. Praise the Lord. That's what our God did for us. Praise God. So we've been talking about our identity as the children of God. So, and we're still talking about our culture. What other things set us apart? Our food, right? I just talked about when we go to Sister Nkechi's house, and And you will know because you'll be smelling the utera from the car. The people who understand that, they understand this. The utera from the car. But in fact, in some, like as you are going upstairs today, hopefully some of us, we didn't eat too much breakfast so that we can really eat well, you know. But the same way, within the kingdom, within royal priesthood, God also made provision for us to grow. You know, food makes us grow. It helps us to be strong and to grow with the food of the Word of God. Praise the Lord. And really, that food of the Word of God, it will sustain us. That is the provision God made within the royal priesthood. Within the royal priesthood, God did not make any of us to be malnourished. His purpose is that we're not malnourished, but we're always fully fed. And that's why every time we come, we encourage you, come to church. We encourage you, go to Life Center. We encourage you, come to Thursday Bible study. Because there are servings of food, servings of spiritual utera that God has purposed for you and I to eat and be full. So really, if you now get to a place, you know, because sometimes we may be experiencing things that discourage us from coming to church. In fact, that's when you really need to come and get a second and a third and a fourth helping of the Word of God. Why? Because that Word of God is what God has designed for you and I, so that when we stand against the enemy, we have strong bones. We are strong, we are able to stand, we don't crumble in fear. But because the Word of God within us, it gives us strength, and we can have confidence and declare to the enemy, oh no, devil, I'm part of the royal priesthood. You can't touch this body. It's because I have been fed with the Word of God on healing that I can declare that. If I do not know the Word of God on healing, if there is an attack, there will be no way for me to respond. I may be trying to respond with the natural, you know, with the natural food, but that's not powerful enough. It's the Word of God that is full of power and able to sustain you and I from day to day, from moment to moment, from circumstance to circumstance. It's the Word of God. It's the blueprint for how we live. Outside the Word of God, we're mixing darkness into it. And that's why you and I, as much as we come from a natural culture, We're also in this spiritual heritage as well. So we come, be a part of this spiritual royal priesthood. Function in it, walk in it, be fed by it, and God will fulfill his purpose. Praise the Lord. So what God tells us that, look, since this is your spiritual food, in Proverbs 4, 20 to 22, let's read the Message version, Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. Are we there? Let's read. Dear friend, listen to my words, tune your ears to my voice, keep my message in plain view at all times, concentrate, learn it by heart. Those who discover these words, they live, they really live, body and soul, they are bursting with health. Praise the Lord. We'll stop there. And that's really what God is saying, that look, he's saying, dear friends, he's saying to each one of us today, listen well to the Word of God. It's like a mother saying to her children, my dear, eat this food because you will get hungry later. That's what God is saying to us. Keep my word in plain view at all times, because that my word is critical for you to be sustained. It says concentrate on that Word of God. That's why when we come to church, we ask you, concentrate, be engaged, listen. That is, you know, it's like, I mean, I'll make fun of my husband. I love to make fun of my husband because he's just such a good sport. It doesn't take much seriously, so it helps. I don't either, so that helps. So when my husband is about to eat and a phone call comes, he says to that person, look, Biko, I have to call you back later. I'm about to eat. The same way, when the Word of God is going on, we should shut off all distraction. Why? You are about to eat. You need that food to really get in. You need to understand it. You don't need to be confused by it. That word is your necessary food. So we get serious about it. And then after we're done, not only do we come here and we eat it, after we're done, go home, eat it again and again, so that you understand it, because it needs to be the foundation in your heart. In fact, the amount of the word of God that you have within your heart, it will help us to make the right decisions. It will help us to walk and live by the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. So again, when we hear the word, because that word is full of life and power, and it is God speaking to us, so we're eager about it. I'll give another example. You know, when the church podcast just started coming on, you know, the way when you realize when there is a problem, my husband is in charge of sound and media, so he gets a phone call that, look, maybe people are unable to download the podcast for today. Those are people that are serious about that word of God. Because they all the way from Nigeria, there are people like you and I, the word of God that we don't really take seriously. There are people from Nigeria that if they don't get a podcast, they will call pastor and say, Pastor, we need to hear what today's sermon. So imagine, they take it with such seriousness. So that should be our approach. That should be our approach. In fact, if you miss service in a week and you haven't heard the sermon, you should feel the hunger pangs in your heart. You should really feel it. You know, like if you miss a meal, you feel the hunger pangs. Like if you're fasting, you know, your body knows for sure that you haven't eaten. The same way, if you haven't been eating consistently of the word of God, once your body gives you, or your human, your spirit, your born again spirit tells you, like check engine lights, it goes off, hunger, hunger. We need to fill ourselves with the word of God. Praise the Lord. And that's how God wants us to succeed. That's how, what the promise that God made to Joshua. God told Joshua that, look, through the word of God, keep reading that word of God, meditate on it, keep your eyes on it. Don't get to a place where you feel you have cornered that. Oh, you know, I understand that they taught that last week. Oh, no, there's more revelation. That's because the word of God is living and active. So we understand our eyes start getting opened. We start getting transformed. Why? Because of the presence of the word of God. And that's what the word of God does for us. That is the way that God made available for us. You know, God, we just read in that scripture that we're a royal priesthood. What do people that are a royal family, what do? They reign now. The way by which we reign is the word of God. Praise God. That's how God purposed for us, whereby we receive the word of God, we develop the faith, we develop the confidence, and we can now enjoy the inheritance we have from God. Praise the Lord. So again, another thing, we talk about culture being different by food, culture being different by identity. Now, our culture also, another way whereby our spiritual culture is also unique is the language that we speak. I'm sure if we do a poll, we'll probably have a number of languages that several of us speak. Even within like the main ethnic groups in Nigeria, you will see like different languages. You know, like you hear from the people who speak, who are from Abriba, they have their own brand of Igbo. Abriba people raise their hand. Praise the Lord. All right. Even the people within Ghana, the people from Kumasi, they speak a different type of language. Even within the Yoruba group, you hear people speaking Ijesha, you hear people speaking Ibadan. Different variety. But you know what? In our spiritual culture, within the royal priesthood, guess what language we speak? We speak the language of faith. Sometimes too, the Bible will talk about the language of love, just in description. But for today, we'll stay with the language of faith. You know, the language of faith, it is a natural consequence of how much of the word of God that you have put in your heart. You know, the language of faith is very interesting. The language of faith is very unique. Because the language of faith, it doesn't speak what it sees with its natural eyes. It doesn't talk about that. Like when it's feeling sick, when the body is feeling sick, the person who is speaking the language of faith, guess what he or she will tell her body? You are whole. The life of God is in you. The same power that raised Jesus up from the dead, it is in you. You cannot be sick. That is the language of faith. You know the language of unbelief? I'm not feeling well. Or sometimes people say, this thing will kill me. Oh, that's the language of unbelief. But God is telling us today, within your priesthood, within your royal priesthood, start to change how you speak. Start to declare the things that are not as though that they are. That's the language that God has called you and I to speak. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. The word of God tells us there that we walk by faith, not by sight. In the Amplified, it says, we live our lives in a manner that is consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. So that's our faith. It comes because of the word of God that we have in us. So the word of God, it tells us in a situation that looks impossible, the word of God will tell us, you know what? With God, all things are possible. So if you notice, the natural things that our eyes see and that we observe, they are in direct contrast to the spiritual language of faith. So that's why you and I, we have to make a consistent effort, first of all, to be filled with the word of God so that we can declare with confidence and having believed what the word of God is saying, this the language of faith that can start to turn the tide of things. Praise the Lord. So our words, they're not ordinary within the royal priesthood. Within the royal priesthood, we don't refer to ourselves as poor. We don't refer to ourselves as helpless. We see ourselves through the eyes of the word of God. We see ourselves as heirs of salvation. Oh, I love that song. Blessed assurance. I'm a heir of salvation. Please, can we bring that song up very quickly? I know I don't have a lot of time. I'm going to move through very quickly. But it's very important that we declare to ourselves who we are. You know how we just read that we're part of a royal priesthood. We need, every time we read that word of God, we need to accept it into our understanding. We need to meditate on it so that will now affect our actions. How you see yourself, we start to speak, I'm a royal priesthood. I'm not helpless. This nothing is never over for me. It's never over. The end, this is not the end, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I don't know what circumstances that we might have come to church with, but I challenge us, start to change the way you see yourself. You are not ordinary. God has not called you to be overtaken by circumstances. God has called you and I to overcome, because we have to start speaking the natural language that he has given to us that is powered by the word of God. God is telling us, rise to the level to which I called you. Don't live like a slave. Live like a royal priesthood. I have called you. You are not a, you know how the prodigal son, he said, he came back to his father and he said, Father, if you would just take me, make me as your slave. But the father said, you know what? No, no, no. I'm restoring you to your right place. God is calling us today. I have called you to a higher place. Don't see yourself as a slave anymore. Subject to sin, subject to life's issues. I have made you to overcome. And your faith is your victory. And your faith will be your victory. What you decide is enough. Because you believe on the power of the word of God, what you decree will be established. Hold on to it and let that language of faith, let it work for you in every circumstance you find yourself. Praise the Lord. So within the royal priesthood, we believe the report of the word of God. We continue to believe the report of the word of God. And that is enough. That becomes enough. There's no other thing that we need to do. You know, in Romans, I think it's in Romans that says, you don't have to go to the heavens to look for a solution. You don't have to go under the earth to look for a solution. The word is right here in your heart. And that word is enough. It is full of power. The same word that created the heavens and the earth, that made darkness change to light, that separated things and made them normal and restore them to what they should be. That word in your mouth, it will do the same. Praise the Lord. So we continue. We're talking about our spiritual heritage. Our spiritual heritage, you know, sometimes we look at a culture, we say, oh, that culture is so rich. How much more the heritage of the word of God is full of abundance. It's telling us that, look, you are, again, I don't know why, it keeps coming up in my heart. You are not ordinary. Do not relegate yourself to ordinary. Wake up, rise up to the purpose to which God has called you to. Wake up. Stop eating in the garbage. God has called you to come to the table. You are clothed with his righteousness. He has put his word in your mouth. Start declaring that word of God. And start to testify about what God has done. Why? Because you are a battle axe in the hand of God. The only person that the only person that locks you up in the room, in a box, is when you give in to your natural inclination. Our natural inclination says it is over. But God is telling us, oh no, it's not over. It's only over when you make it over. Praise the Lord. So we are also called to the same Spirit, the same baptism, and one Father who is the Father of all. So within the royal priesthood, oh, I love saying that word, royal priesthood, because it gives me an understanding of who I am. And it should give us the understanding of who we are too. Says, within the royal priesthood, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Christ Jesus. And you know what? When we are born again, you know, we talked about the life of God. What that life of God within us is the Holy Spirit within us. Praise the Lord. And you know, you remember when Jesus was on earth, he told his disciples, you know, because I'm living, but the Holy Spirit will come and he will help you. Guess what? The Holy Spirit is available for us today. Today. So this is a privilege of every believer. Everyone that has ever said, Lord Jesus, I receive you, has the Holy Spirit within him. So, and because of that privilege, it means that we can be comforted by the Holy Spirit. That is his work. We can be strengthened by the Holy Spirit, and we can be led by the Holy Spirit. So within the royal priesthood, God does not expect us. You know, when you're in a dark room, you have no light. You just start touching everything and say, okay, I can feel this, I can feel that. God did not call us believers to function that way. God called us to function with the leading of the Holy Spirit within us. So the guidance of the Holy Spirit is promised by God for everybody who is born again. You know, sometimes people question, how can people say God said? Guess what? God is speaking to you too. Every one of us, God is speaking to us because our spirits are alive in Christ Jesus. We have the same spirit within him. How many of us have children that we never speak to? No, you speak to your children the same way. You are God's child. God speaks to you every day. Every day. So heavenly citizens, we don't walk in darkness in the kingdom because we have the very life of God. And that very life of God within us, the Holy Spirit, we're going to read the scripture in a minute, he leads us as a shepherd leads his sheep. So we'll read a few scriptures. Psalm 32 verse 8 and the Amplified. We'll read it all together. That promise is a promise to us. Psalm 32 verse 8. Let's go. I, the Lord, Psalm 32 verse 8. I, the Lord, will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Who is you in that scripture? It's me and you. So there are promises in the Bible that we're not taking advantage of. Because a lot of times, sometimes we relegate our decisions to our natural mind. We forget the Holy Spirit. But God is telling us, look, use every privilege that your royal priesthood affords to you. Use it up. Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I want to hear you in this decision. You know, I think a number of years ago, Pastor Onuzo came to minister to us. We were still in the old church. This is many years ago. And he said it had come to one of the children was trying to go to school, you know, and I think at the time they had spoken with their mom and they were kind of just trying to, they had already made the decision. So they came to daddy because daddy is, the finances also have a dependency on dad. And they said, look, we want to go to XYZ school. And he said something that stayed in my heart all those years. He said to his wife, he said, look, we're not just going to make that decision and say our daughter should just go to XYZ school. I have to make sure that this is what God wants us to do. That's the same expectation that God has. You know why? That the daughter, there could be money there, and you could make that decision based on the available money. But it may be year two, and that money runs out. So guess what? The Spirit of God, he sees into the future. He sees beyond the now. He goes beyond every forecasting plan. So that's why in our business, in our life, in our day-to-day decisions, God is asking us, lean not on your own understanding. If you have leaned on your understanding for so long, it's because you are forgetting that the greater one is in you. That greater one is in you, sufficient to lead you. You are not alone. You have heavenly wisdom on your side. The same wisdom that created the heavens and the earth is within you. How much more? How much more? So imagine, God is expecting us to function way above human understanding. Praise the Lord. And that's how God does it. He expects us to lean not onto our own understanding, but to slow down, hear from God. You know, I don't know how many of us are not in the Life Center, but I challenge us. In the last Life Center, we talked, these are opportunities we have to break down the Word of God, to understand how does God speak to us? You know, how does God lead us? So that's why if you're not in the Life Center, that's one helping you are missing. It's like a food helping. You are missing out. Praise the Lord. I pray that today is a day of change. Today is a day of change. We start to come to the table that God has set for us, and we start to eat fully. You know, when we yield to the Holy Spirit, then we start living with the consciousness of the greater one within us, like I said. And then furthermore, when we become baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's like there's no stopping you anymore. Now you're a more effective witness. And that's what Jesus told the apostles in Acts 1:8. He said, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, please, can we have that scripture, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that you will be a more effective witness, which means you now start to witness beyond your natural ability. You will know the difference between a singer that is baptized in the Holy Spirit and a singer that is not baptized in the Holy Spirit. The one that is not baptized in the Holy Spirit is singing just based on natural ability. But join natural ability to the ability of God. That is what they call no limit combination, whereby now not only are you ministering with power, but now God has entrance to do his work. Now Jesus is being exalted. Self is no longer exalted. Do you understand? It's really by the Holy Spirit also that I stand here and minister to you today. Well, husband and I were discussing, there's something that happens when you minister with a consciousness that is the Holy Spirit powering you. Then it takes all the stress out of you. It takes all the, you don't even need to go and practice. You don't need to, practice is good, don't get me wrong, please. Practice is helpful, but you're not dependent on that practice. You are dependent on the power of God to fulfill his purpose and to make many witnesses from whatever it is you're doing. So even if you're a church worker, even if you're just sweeping the church, partnered with the Holy Spirit, you sweep more effectively. That's why people will come to you and say, you know, you didn't say anything to me, but I just noticed there's something about you. It's the Holy Spirit working within you. Praise the Lord. So the same way for us within the royal priesthood, God did not expect us to function by ourselves. He is saying to us, you know what? Live with the consciousness of the Holy Spirit. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. How do we get baptized in the Holy Spirit? When you're baptized in something, you get full of it. You know, whereby now the Holy Spirit, you're so full of the Holy Spirit. You hear his voice. You know his voice. So that way, you're able to just, you're yielded to him. One of the evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. So it means, again, when we speak in tongues, one of the reasons why we speak in tongues is to pray beyond our human understanding of the situation. Praise God. So that's another work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray God's perfect mind on the situation. Romans 8:26. Let's read that scripture. Wow. Romans 8:26. And I will read it quickly because I'm running ahead of time and I want to keep within time. Remember, we talked about that utara up there. So we don't want it to get cold. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:26. It says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Praise the Lord. So I know there are some of us in this body that maybe have been resisting the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is a promise for you and I. It is what, functioning without the help of the Holy Spirit It keeps you limited. And God is calling us in this body, walk beyond your natural limits. Walk, operate beyond your natural limits. Praise the Lord. So God, that's one of the ways that God equips us to function. You know, again, you have the Holy Spirit within you. You speak the language of faith. Yes, we speak the language of faith. And we also hold on to our identity as a royal priesthood. Praise God. So now, within a culture, another thing that's unique to us is garments, our dress. As you can see, many of us look so pretty today, because we are wearing the garments, the dresses of from where we came from. Within the spiritual heritage as well, we also have garments. You know, the Bible talks about the garments of love. In fact, that garment of love is what now sets us apart from everyone. That is the thing that now, because why does it set us apart? It sets us apart because that love makes God what he is. You know, love is the main character of God. You know, that 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love. That's the same love that God used to love us, whereby we were his enemies. We were not sending him, but yet he was in pursuit of us. He was loving us in spite of what we had done. That's the kind of love that God expects. Because now we have his spirit, right? His spirit is operating from within us. So how can we not love? And God himself is love. So how can we not love? It's like you have a child. You expect that child to have your DNA. And that DNA is love. Part of our godly DNA is love. So, and let's read 1 John 4:19. 1 John 4:19. That means that God has already made provision for you and I, that every day we wake up, we put on our garments of love. You know why? Our natural garments, sometimes it doesn't encourage us to love naturally. Because naturally, sometimes we're just angry, maybe about a situation, angry about something or the other. So we're not predisposed naturally to love. But now we say what? We are set apart. We have been transformed from the inside out. So now we are predisposed to love. We are predisposed to the love of God. And why do we love? We love each other because Jesus loved us first. That's what 1 John 4:19 says. Praise the Lord. I was reading an article about one preacher. He has a blog, I think. And so he has, his mother is, I think she's in her 80s. She's very high up there. And then she's ill. I think she has Alzheimer's or something, you know. So he said, even though he had been preaching love to his congregation all through his life, but now he has a mom who is not feeling well. He said that's when there is a test of love. Why? Because just for the fact that maybe he had to put her in a home because he could not handle care of her, that was a rejection. So it's like every day she's in a combative mode. And that's a test of love. And that's a test of love for you and I as well. Because sometimes, even within the royal priesthood, we will have people that are not living up to their royal priesthood ability. How do we respond? The 1 Corinthians 13 love tells us, every day you put on your garment of patience. You put on your garment of kindness. I mean, if we can quickly go to that 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. Every single day, that's what you and I do. We put on that garment. And you know, the Bible again says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So imagine, partnering with the Holy Spirit also helps us to walk in love and to express love, especially when our natural ability cannot handle it. Praise the Lord. So that's, the Bible says every day you wake up, your love will suffer long. Why? Because it's the love of God within you. And that love is kind. That means that it becomes an act of faith as well. That we do. We leave aside our feelings. It means that I'm going to love you regardless of how you treat me. It means that you may hurt me, but I will forgive and keep loving you. Because much has been forgiven me as well. It means that you may not behave right all the time, but I will continue to pray for you and I will stop meditating on the hurt so that I can love you, so that I can forgive you Why? Because within the royal priesthood, hate is completely foreign to our spiritual nature. Hate is, I mean, us saying, I can't stand that person. In fact, it goes out of your vocabulary. Because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. And the more of the word of God that you put in your heart, it will help your actions to come out with faith. So that way, within the family, there is no strife. So that before we even get to the place, we will never get to the place of strife. Why? Because we are yielded to that life of God within us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So by the grace of God, every day, let's read 1 Peter 3:8-11. Every day, and I'm going to just say it within the royal priesthood. Every day we are like-minded. Can we show that scripture? 1 Peter 3:8-11. Every day within the royal priesthood, we are like-minded. We are united in spirit. Can we have that scripture? 1 Peter 3:8-11. Within the royal priesthood, we are like-minded. We are united in spirit. We are sympathetic. We are brotherly, kind-hearted. It means we are courteous. We are compassionate towards one another because we see each other as members of one household. Do you understand? We never return evil for evil. We never return insult for insult. We avoid scolding. Well, I mean, let me just add something here. Because within the royal priesthood too, we will need to be subject to correction from time to time. You know, why? Because we speak the truth in love. So there will be time that correction needs to come. Sometimes we tend to think that somebody correcting you is somebody not walking in love. But the bottom line is, truth has to be spoken in love. We need to restore gently and correct. So that's what the Bible is telling us. Within the royal priesthood, God expects us to grow in the spirit together. We should be, instead of being eager to criticize each other, we should respond with love. I mean, God is not telling us because when there is unrighteousness, like I said, it needs to be addressed and corrected. Why? Because it shouldn't even be within the royal priesthood. So don't be surprised if you are being chastised for doing something that is out of nature of your royal priesthood. It will happen. We're within the family. You know, so within the royal priesthood, we wear our garment of love every day, whether we feel like it, whether we don't feel like it, because we yield ourselves to the walking of the Spirit of God within us. Praise the Lord. So in John 13:34-35, the Bible says, by this, everybody will know that you are my disciples. If you have love and unselfish concern for one another, that love is how people tell us apart. Praise the Lord. You know, I had a friend visit a few years ago, and she said, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed. She visited for an event within the church because everybody was so full of love towards her. Everybody, they put aside whatever they were feeling, and they came and they gave a hug, and they came and they came in love. That's the same expectation God expects for us, that within royal priesthood, there are no fences because all those fences have been broken down. Do you understand? Even if we had a disagreement before, that fence of that disagreement is broken down because forgiveness is flowing freely, because the love of God is flowing freely. You know, that's one area where the enemy tries to throw us off completely. So it's important that we recognize that, look, within the royal priesthood, our garments of love is what we wear every day, every second. We put it on every day. Praise the Lord. So in Colossians 3:12, that scripture tells us that since God chose us to be the holy people he loves, he says, clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So God is expecting us to live out of that born-again spirit within you. Living out of that born-again spirit within you, it will help us to overcome the impulses of the flesh. The flesh impulses are very clear. Hate one another. Make yourself superior to one another. But God is calling us to a different wavelength within the royal priesthood. He's saying, you know what? Instead of finding fault, love one another. Break every fence and just yield. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of one another. Don't think you know it all. Stay humble. Stay humble. Accept people from where they are. Be patient with one another. Make allowance for one another's faults because of your love within your heart. Praise the Lord. So we thank God within the royal priesthood, the whole point of going into this detail was for us to remind ourselves that, look, we have a natural culture which we celebrate, and we're celebrating today. Yes. But we are made a full, balanced man and woman by the acknowledgement of the workings of our born-again culture that is powered by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God within us. Praise the Lord. So I encourage us today, I don't know where you are, maybe you've neglected one over the other, celebrate today. Let today be a day of celebrating of who you are and your born-again nature, because that's what God makes you. That's how God makes you complete. So let's just rise up and give God thanksgiving. Glory. We give God thanksgiving. We are a royal priesthood. I know who I am.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.